This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As of today, millions of Muslims across the world will be fasting from sunup to sundown. This is the second Ramadan observed amid COVID-19, and because of that, many Muslim communities will have to navigate unique challenges related to the pandemic. On top of that, because of when Ramadan falls on the calendar this year, it will be the first time some people will have to spend the entire month away from their immediate families. College students, in particular, are in the last stretch of the semester, and depending on their university's in-person class policies, they will not be able to go home for fasting season. To speak more about what it's like to observe a pandemic Ramadan away from home, we're joined by Maria Hamosina and Iman Zawi. They are both members of the University of Illinois student group, Underrepresented Muslims and Minority Advocates. Maria, Iman, thanks for being here.
Hi, listeners, there. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Listeners, we also want to invite you to join our conversation. The number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Do you observe Ramadan? What are your plans this year? How are they being affected by the pandemic? Or maybe you just have a question for one of our guests. Again, the number to call is 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. Mariha, I'd like to start with you. For our listeners who may not be as familiar with Ramadan, can you speak to what it is and how your family practices it?
Yeah, for sure, Brian. So Ramadan happens once a year for all Muslims, and it's a period of 30 days. And we follow the lunar calendar. So Ramadan starts earlier each year, and it shifts about 11 days ahead each year. And it is essentially a month for spiritual discipline. It is a way for us to empathize with others that have less than us, and really focus on our internal development and practice as Muslims. So some basic guidelines for Ramadan is we fast from about an hour before sunset until sunset, and we refrain from food, water, and sexual intercourse. And the month is about practicing patience and kindness with others. And so it's a time to establish practices that you want to carry on for the rest of the year following Ramadan.
Yeah, it sort of sets the tone for the year for you, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So, Iman, let me bring you into the conversation. This is your second Ramadan in the pandemic. What has that been like for you? How is it different this year than it might have been in previous years?
Well, I'm lucky enough that my family lives close by enough that I can kind of pop home for the weekend or for a day if I want to. But it's hard doing it around school. For me, Ramadan is very much about like being mindful about the things that I do with my brain and the people I surround myself with. And I rely a lot on my family to keep myself grounded. And between school and between the pandemic and everything, it's definitely different this year than it was last year, because last year I think I spent most of it alone in my apartment. And now it's like, okay, can I go home? Can I not go home? And I'm very privileged to have that option.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because last year the pandemic was still pretty new to most of us when Ramadan was happening. This year we've been living with it for more than a year now under pandemic restrictions. So it's been a little, I don't want to venture to say, but easier? Or how would you characterize it this year versus last year?
I think it's a different set of decisions. It's not necessarily easier or harder, but my parents will definitely, like, my dad dropped off a plate of food for me this morning, which was really sweet of him. And I wanted to go home and help my mom cook last weekend. And these were not options that I had last year. And so it's nice. But now that it's during the school year, it's what priorities, and that's a lot of what being Muslim in America is like.
Yeah. So Iman, you are in the final, all students are in the final stretch of the semester. How do you keep yourself productive when you are consuming less food and water during the day?
Personally, when I like tunnel vision on a subject, I almost forget to eat. I also do a lot to I don't want to say flip my day around, but I will nap a lot more and I'll stay up later. And it helps me focus. But everybody kind of has their like a different system for themselves. I know people who still keep working out and going for their morning runs and going about their day as if they weren't fasting, and it's really impressive. And everybody finds a way to accommodate their needs that works for them.
Marija, how about you with that same question? What do you do to sort of restructure your day or keep the structure? How do you keep productive at the end of the semester, consuming less?
Yeah, for sure. I think for me personally, in general, I'm an early sleeper and an early riser. But during Ramadan, that definitely changes for me. I think I find myself sleeping a lot more during the day, and then staying up later at night. So the period that we eat at after sunset is called iftar. And so after iftar, I'll find myself staying up perhaps until 2 or 3, or even just fully until it's time to eat in the morning, and just like snacking throughout that period of time since I can't do that during the day. I would say my productivity, or the time for my productivity, definitely takes a flip.
I wonder with so many classes being at least partly virtual, Zoom is now a part of education in a way it hasn't been in the past. Does that make it in any way different or more or less challenging, Maria?
I think in a way, for me, I think it makes it a little bit easier, if only because you don't really have the in-person attendance requirement, if you will. And a lot of my lectures will be recorded and uploaded online, so it's easier for me to watch them later, as opposed to previous years. It's you really have to make sure you go to class, even if you are fasting during the day. So I think in terms of accommodations, it's a little bit easier.
Oh, they're time shifted. That's interesting. And Iman, how about you? Either the same question about, whether virtual education makes it easier or more challenging. And then also, how accommodating have professors and teaching assistants and others been to Ramadan?
Well, it has today is the first day, so we have a little bit of time to
Yeah,
see.
fair enough.
My 9 a.m.s are definitely rough. I'm not looking forward to those early morning classes. And there are definitely times I have a couple of exams that will, like iftar, when I break my fast, is in the middle of an exam. And so scheduling conflicts has always been really easy for through the university. And I know some professors are quite accommodating, but I haven't had to try it yet. This is my first. I have never had a Ramadan as like a student. It's always been in the summer for me. And then with the pandemic this year and last year, I've had the flexibility of recorded classes or of emailing and saying, "Hi, we're halfway through the Zoom lecture. I'm so sorry."
Yeah.
And being able to swing into things that way.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce you. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking about the start of the Islamic holy month of Ramadan. We're speaking with Maria Homasina and Iman Zawawi, who are both students at the University of Illinois. They're members of Underrepresented Muslims and Minority Advocates, a student group on campus. And you mentioned earlier that Islam is based on a lunar calendar, and Ramadan, it happens earlier, about 10, 11 days earlier every year. And because of the way it's falling, it's going to be entirely within the school year. It's going to be harder for some people to be able to go home and be with family during Ramadan because of when it starts and when finals are, depending on individual situations, obviously. But Maria, this is the, some students, this is going to be their first experience of that. Maria, this is, I understand, your third time away from your family during Ramadan. What are some of the challenges of being separated from family during this month? And maybe if you have some tips for people who might be struggling.
So my family actually lives in Bangladesh, and I'm over here in the US. And so for me, last year I stayed with family friends in Texas, kind of almost the entirety of quarantine and also Ramadan. So that was quite nice to have people with me. But prior to that, I was fully on campus for Ramadan and again this year. It is a little bit difficult, I won't lie, in terms of being able to prepare food for myself and like realizing, okay, like this is something I need to do, and not having like my mom do things for me. I think my tips for other students that might be going through the same thing is to just really reach out to others on campus, people that you know are Muslim and who are also practicing, and kind of foster that sense of community as best you can. I know the mosque here on campus, they're doing socially distanced prayers, and they're also handing out food during prayer time so that people can use that for iftar. And I think that sense of community is really what will help pull people through. And yeah, just maintaining that, I think, helps me a lot, reaching out to friends and being like, hey, how are you? One thing I'm planning with one of my friends is to do sort of weekly meetings, and we are going to kind of discuss religion and our spirituality and how we're really focusing on this month to better ourselves.
Well, we've only got a few minutes left in our conversation. I want to take a step back in the time we have remaining. Iman, can you talk about maybe how your perspective on Ramadan has changed as you've gone from childhood through being a teenager to now being an adult?
Yeah, a lot of my experience learning about religion is different. I think to me personally, Ramadan or Islam, and my favorite thing about it is that it is a lifestyle. It's a set of intentions that you look at the world with. And Ramadan is really taking the time to focus and be intentional with the things that you want out of yourself and out of your community and out of the world around you and what you want to put in to get those things. So the shift for me has been kind of, okay, so there are rules that are most people's basic understanding of Islam, like the pray five times a day, wear hijab, these sorts of like recognizable, identifiable, concrete rules that people can cling to, and moving away from that and moving into the more spiritual, like how does this make me feel about my place in the universe and my contributions to society and my community? Because Islam to me is a religion of community, and the Ramadan is the biggest emphasis of that.
And I want to, we have just about a minute left, so maybe just in a few sentences, Maria, last question to you. What do people, what is the best way people can support others who are going through Ramadan if they're not Muslim themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing that I will say is just be cognizant of the fact that your Muslim friends and family will potentially be a little bit more tired, a little bit more worn down during the day. And just, you know, kind of be there to support them if they need you to maybe do something, or if you have a coworker that might ask for you to take a shift, and understand that it's just, it is a little bit physically taxing for us. And you know, we don't expect to get special treatment while fasting, but it would be kinder to absolutely sort of check our preferences for meetings, things like that. And we don't mind being around other people who are eating or drinking, so no need to apologize for that. Most of us have been doing this for years, so we're absolutely used to it.
Maria Hamasina is Vice President of the University of Illinois' Underrepresented Muslims and Minority Advocates Student Organization. Iman Zawi is also a member of that group. Maria, Iman, I want to thank you so much for being here today. Ramadan Mubarak.
Thank you. Ramadan Kareem.
And that is all the time we have for today on the 21st. Before we go, I do want to make a pitch for joining our texting group. We heard texts earlier. Those great voicemails we heard earlier in the recycling segment came from people in our texting group. You can join that by texting the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, send the word TALK to 217-803-0730. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Chantal Vaca is our engagement producer, and our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Briel Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.